All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll just remind you guys, as always, Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee up in Huntsville, a 30-year veteran in the practice of law. He's also a longtime conservative, daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, let me start by saying the world can look a little crazy out there right now. I know it. I know it does. I talk about it every day. Everywhere you look, social media, mainstream media, it's hard to account for it. Sometimes it seems like civil discourse is like a thing of the past. But it's not, really. I mean, we can watch the pink-haired nose rings and the inflatable unicorn costumes at the so-called No Kings rally, and we can wonder where all the sanity is. But they are still exercising their First Amendment rights. I support their right to be wrong, if you know what I mean. But I want to encourage you to remember that the public discourse is only a discourse if the conversation goes two ways. In other words, we cannot be silent. Because the highly vocal freak show that is running the left-wing base right now is intent on changing everything that you and I know, believe, and love. And the left would tell us that right is wrong, and wrong is right, and women can be men, and that the world is systemically racist, and that we need to pay more taxes, or the Constitution's really up for interpretation, whatever. You and I don't agree with any of that, which means that we have to speak out for ourselves. And we can do that anywhere, by the way, anywhere, everywhere, all the time, but we're not called to be conservatives and Christians at fixed times when we are most comfortable, right? We're not. Not just when you're comfortable. Because speaking out is a 24/7 job. It's a responsibility. It's part of good stewardship. Because if we don't speak up when we're needed to, then all the wrong things can actually happen and the pink-haired nose-ring unicorns win. So what's really missing, what is needed more than ever, is for good people to actually speak up. I mean, like, really speak up. And by the way, when I say that, I'm not talking about riots. I'm not talking about chasing elected officials into the bathroom stalls or storming their offices. I'm not talking about showing up at the front steps, even. It's actually possible to have a solid, conservative, well-intentioned, cogent, thoughtful, authoritative voice, sometimes alone and sometimes with others, without going into all the crimes and crazy antics that we see done on the left. But nonetheless, we still have to speak. Throughout history, it's the failure of good people to speak that has allowed for bad things to happen. Don't get me wrong, bad actors do bear responsibility for what they do, but good people who could have intervened and chose not to because it was uncomfortable, or because it was scary, or because it might hurt their business, or maybe they're standing in the community, well, people who sit idly by and do nothing, they deserve some recompense themselves. You've heard the old quote, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." And that is so true. But think of this. What if it was you that was bearing the brunt of the actions of all the bad actors? What if it was you or your family that was facing some kind of adverse action or public backlash or some unjustified consequences? And what would you need? Well, you would need someone to speak. And I would ask you this, who would speak for you? There's a wonderful, sobering old poem that was written by a German Lutheran minister named Martin Niemöller. Niemöller was originally a supporter of the Nazis when they rose to power, but when the Nazi Party began to nationalize churches in Germany in the late 30s, he began to speak out. And because he spoke out, Niemöller did spend years in a World War II concentration camp. But after the war, he traveled the world speaking out about, well, speaking out. That's what he talked about. He spoke out about speaking out. Here's a quote from Niemöller that he said once. He said, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." Yeah. But y'all, the extended version of what Niemöller said, too, is what really got me. Niemöller spoke the whole thing in the form of a question, really a confession. So let me just read to you an extended version of part of what Niemöller said just after World War II. He said this. He said, "The persecution of the Jews, the way we treated the occupied countries, or the things that happened in Greece and Poland, Czechoslovakia and Holland, they were all written in the newspapers. And I believe that we, the confessing church Christians, have every reason to say, mea culpa, because we can talk ourselves out of it with the excuse that it would have cost me my head if I had just spoken out." He said, "But we preferred to keep silent. And we are certainly not without guilt or fault. And I ask myself again and again, what would have happened if in the year 1933 or 34, because there must have been a possibility," he said, What if 14,000 Protestant pastors and all the Protestant communities in Germany had defended the truth until their deaths? What if we had said back then, it's not right when Hermann Göring puts 100,000 communists in a concentration camp to let them die? He said, I can't imagine that perhaps 30,000 to 40,000 Protestant Christians might have had their heads cut off, but I also can imagine that if we had done that, we would have rescued 30 to 4 million people, because that's what it's cost us, he said. That's sobering when you think about it. His biggest regret was not speaking up sooner. But speaking up, y'all, that takes practice. It does. I know that. Think of resolve and courage. Resolve and courage, as if they're a muscle group. If you leave them untrained, they go flaccid and weak. It takes exercising your resolve and your courage to be able to be effective at actually employing them. So here's my advice. Here's what I'm going to suggest to you. Here's maybe your homework. You ready? I'm going to tell you how to do it. Here's my advice. You grab one topic, just one. Just one to start with. Something you're passionate about. Maybe it's your faith. Maybe it's liberty. Maybe it's pushing back against things like, I don't know, critical race theory. Maybe it's sharing your faith. Maybe it's expressing how much you love your community or your state or your nation. And then just do one simple exercise. Pick the one thing you care about and say, what would I say if? And then take a little time to think about your answer. Maybe read up on the comments that are made by other folks who did a good job addressing that thing you care about. Go ask a friend or a family member. And then just dialogue it in your mind. And I'm serious when I say this. Ask yourself, what would I say if? You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be well-educated. You don't have to be an elected official or a business leader. In Acts chapter 4, one of my favorite passages of scripture, in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been arrested, and they were speaking to the leaders of the day. And it says that they were noted as speaking with authority, even though they were what the word called, quote, unlearned and uneducated men. Just everyday folks who spoke up. But when they spoke, y'all, it changed the world. When Peter and John addressed the leaders of their day, those same well-educated aristocratic establishment leaders told them to stop speaking about Jesus. They said, stop it. Just stop speaking in that name. Literally told them that what they knew to be true was not true. And despite the fact that those two men had actually spent time with Jesus personally, they were no longer allowed to speak of it. Well, that didn't fly. Peter and John actually bowed up and told them in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, I believe it was, said, I cannot stop speaking what I've seen and heard. You know why? Because they knew it, and they were going to speak it. And they had resolve, and they had courage, and they had a voice. Listen, resolve and courage are things that become part of your character. They are. Resolve and courage are things that become a part of your character. You will be known for them, or you can easily be known for being without them. One of my favorite authors happens to be from Alabama, Andy Andrews. I love Andy Andrews. Also one of the best public speakers I've ever heard. Has an amazing personal story. But he wrote a book that I love called How Do You Kill 11 Million People? It referred again to the Nazi extermination camps. And there's a quote from Andy Andrews in that book that is right on point for what I'm saying today. Andrews said, every man of character will have that character questioned. And every man of honor and courage will be faced with unjust criticism. But never forget that unjust criticism has no impact whatsoever on truth. The only sure way to avoid criticism is to do nothing and to be nothing. Think about it. If you're being criticized, it just means you're taking a stand. So there it is, folks. Liberals are shouting at the top of their lungs right now, pushing themselves into every corner of our lives, telling us that we have to always believe that what is true is not true anymore. So do you have resolve and courage? Can you speak up? What would you say if? Just a thought. You could just do nothing. You could say nothing. And when they come for you, who will speak for you then? And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.